Good afternoon, church. It is again my great privilege to be here with you all. And it is always a great joy to share from His Word. Before we get into the text, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us another opportunity to dig from your Word. And also we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Savior. Through Him we can come to you and call you Abba Father. What a great joy of relationship. Also we thank you for the Holy Spirit, which is giving us the demand of prayer and your Word. As mere human beings, we do not have a heart for listen to your word, but only through your spirit, Lord, we are able to come to you. We ask you that, Lord, you prepare our hearts and give us an undivided attention as we are going through this text today. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. The text, what we read earlier, is very familiar text, each one of us. In fact, this scripture portion is part of the inaugural speech of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount. That is Matthew chapter 5. To 7. So this is the first five primary speeches by Jesus from Matthew Gospel. So here Jesus gives instructions about how members of the kingdom should live. As the multitudes continue to follow Jesus, he went up on a mountain in Galilee and sat down. Then he taught the crowd. Jesus taught them about his coming kingdom views. When we look into that tradition, till that time, Jews had only one standard of righteousness, which was taught by scribes and Pharisees. The Pharisees taught that righteousness was an external thing, a matter of obeying rules and regulations, and it could be measured by their day-to-day praying or giving or fasting, etc. But Jesus' sermon was about how a person who is in a right relationship with God should lead his life. So here Jesus describes, as a Christian, how should his life flow from the light within himself? So in the first portion of the sermon, Jesus talks about the attitudes of the citizens of God's kingdom. And in the second part, Jesus wants his disciples should display their life, or a demonstration of their life. So, as a proposition, since Jesus is the light, let our life be that light and reveal God's glory. Since Jesus is the light, let our life be that light and reveal God's glory. So, as I was reading these verses, I tried to personalize to myself. As I change the words in this way, Shibu is the light of the world. If Shibu is the light, then how that Shibu should be functioned? So you can change your name and reflect to these verses. So here Jesus gives a compliment to his disciples And Jesus is telling them, hey, you are the light of the world. So if Jesus wants to call us and say that, hey, Mark, you are the light of the world, or Karen, you are the light of the world, or George, you are the light of the world, how would we reflect to that? Okay. Are we really ready to get that compliment in our own life? If we are not into that compliment, so what is lacking us to get there? So as we look into the text, Jesus is giving two measuring stick to check it. One is he's giving an example, a city on a hill and a lamp on a lampstand. So we all know that city stays in the public and the lampstand at the house. So both have a specific role in its respective places. So the light has external and internal roles wherever they are. So if we are the light, we will see some results. So at first we look how the presence of the light can make a difference in darkness. As we come to verse 14, so I divided my first point to the presence of the light. The presence of the light. So verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. So when we look into this chapter earlier, Jesus said to his followers, his disciples, you should be like a salt. In ancient times, salt was used as a necessary thing for everyday life. And salt used as a preservative. And also it is an important element of one's day-to-day diet. You know that if we lack salt in our food, it doesn't taste good. So, but when we come to verse 14, he says, you know, as followers of Jesus, we should be like a light. So, two different metaphors. One, earlier he was saying about you should be like salt because you should be merging into the society. I mean, you giving from yourself to the community. So that's one of the function of salt. But then here, I'm focusing only 14 right now. So here he say, you are the light. So, and according to the Israel's tradition, we know that the light of the world, when Jesus meant, Jesus tells that Israel's role as a light to the nations. So that's why Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, we read that, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Just imagine, this is before, maybe 700 years of Christ coming, and the prophet Isaiah, he prophesied how the purpose of Jesus' disciples. And also, as we read from Isaiah chapter 49 earlier in our scripture reading, he says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel. I have kept. It will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. I think I have shared my conversion story. I mean, when I was in the Middle East, you know, one Hindu convert, Christian, who shared the gospel to me. And then when I heard his conversion story, when he was in Middle East, he was living with his roommate, and my friend, he was coming from a very Hindu, high-class, Orthodox background. And then his roommate was a Christian. But every Thursday, they had a fellowship in his room. And then the Christian friend always invites some people from blue-collar jobs, kind of a labor category. People, they come, and then his Christian friend used to share the gospel, share the meal with them. And this my friend, who was a Hindu that time, he was watching him. Why that his Christian roommate always hug and love people who are coming from labor camps, and you know, they're coming coming with their shabby clothes and all. And he was just watching why that Christian friend is walking one extra step out and hugging them and giving and showing the love. And then he was watching and watching many months. And then you won't believe that other Christian friend did not share the gospel to my friend, who was a Hindu that time. By seeing his action, that changed his mind. If his Christian roommate, if he can hug a person coming from a labor camp with a stinging smell, he can love him and hug him. What is the secret? Then he saw that because his Christian friend said, this is because of the Christ love in him. So he was practically showing that light of Christ. That actually changed my friend's life. So then you just imagine later he was able to share the gospel to me. So when I connect these things, I mean, Jesus is actually telling the same thing. You know, you are the light. Your light should be shown. I mean, when we look into the this imagery, and we know that the houses in Palestine were very dark, and it had only a small 18 inches circular window in each house. I mean, and that's the situation. So the lamp was like a sauce boat filled with the oil with the wick floating in it. You know, so it was not easy to rekindle a lamp during that time, because there was no matches. You know, so if you have the light, you have to keep the light, you know, for a long time. So normally the lamp stood on a lampstand, you know, which would be shaped in a branch of wood. You know? So when they go out for safety, they put it under an earthen bushel measure so that it might burn without risk until they came back. So this is the background. I mean, so when we look into the Bible, light is a common metaphor of the Bible. So it is used as a symbol of righteousness when you look at Proverbs chapter 4:18, and a symbol of blameless and pure in Philippians chapter 2:15. So in today's scripture portion, Jesus used light as a picture of good works. So let your light shine before others, you know. So then again, the light of the world, which means here we read that when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, what does that mean to us? That is the only source of light. There is no other light, and the exclusive light. That's John chapter 9:5. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now he is not physically present, so we are the representative of his light. So that means the world is dependent upon Christians for light. And also, I just wanted to take your attention. If you look at Old Testament, that God asked Moses to make a tabernacle, and it had two components, a holy place and holiest of all. In the holy place, there were three objects of furniture. So one, a golden altar of incense, seven-branched candlestick, and the showbread. And I mean, Hebrew chapter 9, you can see that background. These were the symbolic representation of the church. So the candlestick symbolizes the church of Jesus Christ. The seven branches shows the sevenfold nature of the church. I mean, that's in Revelation chapter 2 to 3. These candles were not like a modern-day wax candles. So those were bowls with channels filled with oil. Little wicks were dipped in the oil, and the light was produced by lighting the wick. So that was the only light source in the holy place, and it has to be lighted 24/7. So that's the picture. We see that, the function of a candlestick. So in the scripture, oil is always a type of the Holy Spirit, you know, representative. This tells that the church cannot give light by her, you know. It has to be filled with the Holy Spirit and set on the fire by God. So that's why John the Baptist said to Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Matthew chapter 3, 11, we can see that. So how can we be the light of this world? Jesus gave light as a designation to a believer. So we are designed to be the light, and we should be dedicated to be that purpose. So then again in verse 14, we see that then he said, after Jesus said, you are the light of the world, then then we can see that he said, if you are the light, then a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. After Jesus said, you are the light, then he connected to a city. So we know that. What would be the significance of a city on a hill? So it would be prominent in the sight of everyone near or far. That means a city on a hill means everybody can see in that city. And nobody can hide that. So Jesus said to his disciples, you are the city on a hill. And that means you are under the camera of people. Okay, they are closely watching you wherever you are. And their eyes will be on us from every direction to see if your Christianity is real. So basically, the city on a hill means, you know, we are in midst of a group of people who are watching our life, our lifestyle. So we must realize that the moment we profess faith in Jesus Christ, or when we have become born again, we become the city of the hill and cannot be hidden. So Jesus said, you are the light of the world because he is that light. John chapter 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the life. Here we see Jesus' unique divine identity and purpose. He is the only source of spiritual light, and no other spiritual truth is available to mankind. So as an application, how our presence make a change in our home or our community or in the city? The presence of Christians in the world must be like a light in the darkness. Not only in the sense that the truth of God's word brings light to the darkened hearts of sinful man, but also in the sense that our good deeds must be evident for all to see. So, as I come to the second point, the purpose of the light. After we seeing the presence of light, now we come to the purpose of the light. The verse 15. Verse 15, we read that, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So, here we see a lamp and lampstand, which represents which gives the purpose of that lampstand. The purpose of the lampstand, as I said, in the Old Testament time, in the tabernacle, was to give light on the object which was placed opposite to it. It was the golden table of showbread. The showbread represents Jesus Christ. So, John chapter 6, we read that, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. John chapter 6, verse 48 and 51. So, what is the purpose of us? As the light of Upper Darby, or as the light of Glen Olden, or the light of Eden. So our purpose is to cast light on Jesus Christ as the bread of life. So this is the primary purpose of our presence on the earth, and everything else is secondary. So, the purpose of the light, what we have, that light should show Jesus Christ. As I said, you know, the altar was in the tabernacle, as the bread of life, as it should be shown through the candlestick, you know. So, we know that the darkness is the absence of the light, you know. The purpose of a light is to shine and give a direction. When we look into the two of the images, you know, which Jesus used, a city on a hill reflects external impact of the light, and the lamp on the lampstand, internal impact, city stays in the public, and the lampstand stays in a private, or inside the home. So why do we need to place the lamp on a lampstand? No. That's why I say in Hebrews chapter 9:2, a tabernacle was set up in its first room, where the lampstand, the table, and the consecrated bread, this was called the holy place. So as I said earlier, in Old Testament time, it teaches that the significance of the light to show the showbread. You know. The whole purpose of the lampstand was to illuminate the table of a showbread, that is representing the Jesus Christ. So dear friends, where is our lamp placed on today? On the lampstand or under the basket? Sometimes we think we are burning, but in reality, we may be smoking under the basket. Unless it is placed on a stand, it cannot shine well. So that's why Peter gives a better picture of a light of a Christian in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So as a Christian, we should be shining with the light of Christ, that should give a godly life. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6, it is, we have read that. I mean, it shows light is designated as the salvation. So Christians are called to reflect God's light of salvation. The only reason that you and I, as Christians, are here is to cast light on Jesus Christ. As we move along, I would like to take your attention to the third point, that is the prominence of the light or the position of the light. Verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So, if you look at amplified version of this scripture, it's written, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good deeds and moral excellence and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In verse 16, Jesus brings the practical application of life, light. The light should work and benefit to the community. The function of the light, people are to see our good deeds. The second, the good deeds of the Christian must not only good, they must be also attractive. So, when we come to the second function, our good deeds ought to draw attention, not ourselves, but to God. So basically, when we, our actions, our good deeds, that should attract others to Christ. I mean, that's the ultimate purpose of the good deeds. Even when we look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, here Jesus is ending his sermon with the wise and foolish builder's story. Matthew chapter 7, 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. We can see the two kinds of people who really success in their life. One who hear the word and obey the word, and one kind of people who ignore. As a church or as individuals, we cannot be light by ourselves. We know that the sun is the source of life, and the moon reflects light from the sun to the earth. So here Jesus is our source of light, and we are to reflect that light to others. So if we do not have the light, and we know that we cannot have the light by ourselves, or it cannot be created in us, It has to come from a main source. As I said, the moon is reflecting the light of the sun. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So each week, as a part of outreaching in the street, we meet a different kind of people. And last Thursday, I was able to meet a person who attends a church in Malvern, and her name is Natalie. And when I asked her the two E questions, she said, I am a very good Christian. I go to the church and everything. And then I asked her, when we had the longer conversation, I could see that she was lacking assurance. You know, if we leave this earth today and she's not sure about that, then we had a very deep conversation. And then I, after sharing the whole gospel for 35 minutes, I asked her, does this make any sense to you? Yes, now I understand that. Now I have the, I can feel that assurance in me. I mean, so she was kind of she was doing all kind of things, attending church, doing the things, but still she was lacking something. She didn't have that that peace in her heart. But at the end, and she made a recommitment, and she was rejoicing with us in the street. I could see that, that. That changed her life. And then I asked at the end the two E questions again, and she said, yes, I know, because Jesus, He died for me. His righteousness transferred to me. Now I can stand before God boldly, that kind of situation. So that was a great time on Thursday night. And so here, I was explaining here, by ourselves, we cannot do this. If you, sometimes we think that as Christians, we can live our life through our works. We can please God. I'm a church goer. I give to the church and all kind of actions. And we are very much action oriented. But then I said, Bible is giving a very high standard to please God with our all kind of good works. Even Matthew chapter 5:48. And then she said, hey, that is correct. So what's my point is, and then she was able to submit and surrender her completely to the will of God, to the Spirit of God. So here, as mere human beings, we cannot create any light in our own life. Only we can ask His light, because He is the light. So then when we surrender, so then His light can be transferred on us, and we can be a light for His purpose. So I always ask people, if you are not following Him and don't have that light, if you put your trust in Him, you will receive His light and you can be His light. If you want to be His light, we must be born again, first through the saving faith in Jesus Christ. So when we profess our faith in Jesus publicly, that moment onwards, we become a city that's set on a hill. So as a church, maybe this is the great message. There are many people next to us. They think that they are the light, but still they are living in the darkness with their ignorance. But only through the true light of our Jesus Christ, they can show, they can be a light for God's kingdom. So as I conclude, I just wanted to conclude in this way. what is the light really meant? Light meant to be seen. So Christians must be the light of the world. The purpose of the light is it should be seen. So the Christianity meant to be seen. It should be visible to everyone. Christianity should be visible not only within the church, but it should be visible in the ordinary or our daily activities of this world. Then light is a guide. Light is something to make a clear way. So Christians must be make that way clear to others. And also, light can often be a warning light. Sometimes the duty of Christians to bring necessary warning to the people who are perishing. So we are created for good works, and people are to see our good works. Our good works should draw attention not to ourselves, but to our Creator God. So that is the purpose of the light. And so I thank God for that great light, what we have today. I know each one of us have in this congregation. We all have that assurance in us, because He has called us from darkness to light, and through His Spirit He gave us, through His Son, we have that light. I pray that may God bless us and help us to be a great light during this darkened time of our history. To many, and many in our community, many in our neighborhood. May God bless you with all these words. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for giving your only begotten Son. And through that Son, you gave us a light. We thank you for this joy of light, which is the salvation, what you have given to us. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us that title, as you are the light. When we really hold this title, help us to be true witnesses, to practice us, to apply us of that light. Lord, help us to light this light in the darkened areas of our societies, our own families, our own communities, our own nation, Lord, where we are representing. Lord, you help us not to hide our light under the basket. Help us to put our light on the lampstand, so that our light can be a warning, our light can be a pathway for many. And also, Lord, you lead us and guide us, and you keep us through this light to shine our city, our township, and through this light, through all our nation. We submit each one of us under thy hands. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.